From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, Blues Day Recap, Halloween Edition, Trick or Treat, ladies and gentlemen, Devil's Night and all that good stuff, man. Let me get into the sports real quick. BleedBlueShow.com, upcoming episodes, hit the schedule tab of our website to know the schedule for all the teams and all the leagues as well. I definitely wanted to talk this college football stuff that's been going on. It's been looking very, very good, and particularly the Penn State-Ohio State game. What a game that you guys saw in the fourth quarter, man. I mean, it was outstanding football, man. College football has been a very solid season. I thought early on in the season, it really got off to a good start with good quality games. I said it on the Blues Day Recap last month. I wanted to say this as far as there's been a little bit of a die down, a little soft part of the schedule for a lot of the powerhouse teams. You kind of feel out who is who right now. It is really three teams in this thing I think is really viable as far as competing for a national championship, one being Alabama as well. And you got a clear picture knowing that after the Florida-Georgia game, I think Georgia's kind of put their foot down in the SEC East. And I saw a lot of the game versus Florida. They destroyed Florida, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But this Penn State-Ohio State game, what a game that we had the opportunity to see with Penn State really dominating most of this game. You know, they were up at 28-17 at halftime, and they ended up 35-20 before JT Barrett went on a remarkable run. And probably one of the best quarterback performances I can think in the regular season I've seen in a very long time. I don't want to sound cliches to say ever, but him throwing the three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, especially the game winner with under 2 minutes to go, I thought Ohio State was dead. I thought they were done as far as Penn State. I thought Penn State was ready to take the next level. But you got to look at it like this, where JT Barrett almost threw for 400 yards. He's definitely well over 300 in the total yards category for 530 yards for Ohio State, where Penn State, if you didn't get the special teams return out of Saquon Barkley and some of the running, but they played a complete defensive game as well. But Ohio State, wow. What a game, man. You guys have to check that out if you haven't checked. The highlights don't even do it justice. You have to go back and see that second half, in particular the second half of the game when you thought Penn State was going to run away with this thing. The Big Ten, I thought, is a very competitive conference. I think Michigan still could be somewhat of a spoiler role with Jim Harbaugh's team. Michigan State is pretty decent. They're all those teams in the that one division with the Big Ten. You got Ohio State, Penn State, the two Michigan teams, Michigan State. And then everything else is pretty much Wisconsin in the other side of the bracket. Michigan State still has a fighter's chance in this thing, how this could play out as far as them being in the Big Ten East. Don't count them out. They had the big win over Michigan as well earlier this year. But the Penn State game, JT Barrett, if we talk about Heisman stuff, everybody talks about Saquon Barkley as being a Heisman Trophy candidate, as he is. He's dynamic, and the special teams are dynamic out of the backfield. But, damn, you got to see what JT Barrett did in this game versus Penn State. A very good Penn State defense as well. Outstanding. I think he had to be damn near perfect in the fourth quarter. It had to be like 13 for 13, 13 for 14 or something like that as far as his passing. Penn State, I don't know what to say. But being up 14, even being up 14 in this game, even getting after the Barkley return for that touchdown early in the game to set it off, it really set the tone for this team. Even in on that next possession, going down the field and get the Hamilton touchdown as well. I thought Penn State was on their way, man. And then you see Barkley had another 36-yard run in the second quarter. But these guys, I thought they had hit Ohio State with haymakers and blows. But that fourth quarter, man. That fourth quarter, it really stuttered it off early in that fourth quarter because I think that was key going with the two plays, Barrett hitting it with Johnny Dixon to really cut that game for a touchdown difference at that point. I know Penn State, I believe, kicked a field goal with about, I don't know, 5 minutes left, but two touchdowns were bat-breaking for Penn State. Ohio State, J.T. Barrett has earned a lot of my respect, man, a lot of my respect. I thought they were dead. I thought Ohio State was dead. I didn't think they had it in them. I mean, Johnny Dixon had a remarkable game. He had caught another fourth quarter touchdown pass. I know they tried to go for the 2 points, and Barrett was not able to convert on that. But even hitting ball in that the end zone with about a minute and 45 left in the fourth, man. It was just crazy, man. What a game that we had the ability to see. Ohio State in that division. You still got to play Michigan, and Michigan can play spoiler. I know it's going to be really hard for them to really catch them, knowing that you really have to get three losses, maybe. Three losses by Ohio State, or two by Ohio State, and Michigan had the tiebreaker, and maybe Penn State falls along the way. So Michigan's really almost damn near down and out. Anything's possible. Penn State's still in, of course, that Ohio State will have to lose twice. Michigan State, to me, is really in a very good position as well in that Big Ten East. And then anything else on Big Ten West, like Wisconsin, all they do what they do year in, year out, a very consistent program, very underrated program in the Big Ten. Running the ball, defense, pick sixes, special teams, very complete. They do everything well. It goes without the fact they do play in the weaker half of the Big Ten Conference. A lot of the teams suck. Iowa's not that good. Purdue, Minnesota, all those teams, Illinois, they beat up on Illinois. If you watch that game Saturday, you beat up the crap on Illinois at the 12 o'clock game. Northwestern they're a decent team, but they're definitely nowhere the level of Wisconsin. So all the heavy lifting is over there in the Big Ten East. And got to give the hands out to Urban Meyer's squad, man. They fought, man. That quarterback, JT Barrett, whose guy's kind of a quiet kid who showed a lot of emotion after the game. It was really good to see Ohio State make that comeback. And I was really rooting for Penn State in this, because I really like what they've done this far this year. They had the Saturday game earlier that year, the big night game versus Iowa, and they came back and won that game. I really like what they've put together defensively. But I don't know if this is something that's just unfortunate where all the good teams happen to be in the top half of the East. So it is what it is. Let me get to the Georgia game, because that was an ass whooping that we got to saw Georgia all over Florida. And that's the first time I could think of in a long time. Even when Georgia had, 10 years ago, they had the Norshawn Marino teams with A.J. Green and Matt Stafford at quarterback. Those Georgia teams were pretty damn good, but Georgia this year, the second year on the Kirby, man, they are proving me wrong, because I think a lot of that of what we think of the Georgia Bulldogs nationally is they are a team that, the reputation of Mark Richt of being a team that gets far and they blow the big game. I can remember they had the big game versus Alabama 2 years ago at in Georgia, in Athens, Georgia, and they had they needed all the right to go to the SEC East, get the crown, and losing in that big game in the rain. For years, it seems like Georgia has been owned by Florida. Even when Florida was in its down years, like it is now, it's probably the lowest point for Florida football in a very, very long time. But on the Georgia side of things, even last year, Florida beating Georgia. The thing with the Georgia Bulldogs in this neutral game versus Jacksonville, they always go down there in Jacksonville for like the last God knows how many years. And it seems like it's always Florida. Of course, it's Jacksonville. It's a little bit closer to Gainesville than it is to Athens, Georgia. And I know the team always flies out there, treated like a road game. It's definitely a road game for the Georgia, no matter how you split it. But it seemed like it was more of a home game this time, where Georgia was all over Florida. You just turn on the game. If he was in Jacksonville, be at Jacksonville landing, the landing in Jacksonville, 21-0. Georgia dominated, pure domination, running the football, which is pretty much their bread and butter, whether it's going to be Nick Chubb or coming out of the backfield. These guys, they're loaded, man, running the football. Now, whether they can stack up against an Alabama or not is a whole other thing, but we can't get that far down the line, because we got to see what they do versus the Gamecocks. Coming up next week, actually. Gamecocks is a very tricky team. They had a good win early, the first game of the year versus North Carolina State. They lost to Kentucky in a good game. I thought Kentucky outplayed them. But South Carolina is no slouch. They're going to make you work. They're going to make you fight. Georgia should not take this game seriously, take this game lightly. But if Georgia happens to get passed through South Carolina, there's pretty much a wrap for the SEC East. You pretty much sure your bet is going to be Alabama and Georgia for the SEC Championship at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. So we'll see what happens with Georgia on that front. But I think that for those fans, for those students and alumni for the last definitely 10 years, to get what they did versus the Florida Gators, it was definitely a relief and a beat down at that. I think it was 42-0. I think the game ended up 42-7. But they needed that for that program. As much as Florida has been a thorn in them and how much they've won a lot in that rivalry, I think that's one of those wins. And even in a down year for Florida, those were one of those wins that Georgia needed to get past to really say, hey, we're for real this year. Because I think that was my mentality of the Bulldogs, too. We saw them go to Vanderbilt. We saw them beat up on Tennessee. We see them beat up on a lot of poor teams this year. Non-competition, to keep it 100. But we wanted to see them in a game where they normally have lost, and they did a good job dominating, running the ball. Running the ball, that's their forte, running the ball. So I think with Kirby, the head coach for the Georgia Bulldogs, step in the right direction. I thought last year a lot of people had a lot of heavy expectations, including I, and it seemed like the same old Mark Richt team. But they did one hell of a job getting past that, man. So when it comes to the Big Ten, it's about Ohio State, and then it's their division to lose. Wisconsin's pretty much got it sewn up, in my opinion. SEC, Alabama, Georgia right now, as long as Georgia gets past South Carolina, I don't expect Alabama to lose until at least the SEC championship. And you know they're going to be a heavy favorite in that game. Because for Alabama, for everybody knows, that's the twin state of Georgia right next door. It seems like they play at least two games a year in Atlanta. So Alabama going to Atlanta is kind of going to be like a home crowd feel for Alabama. A lot of people travel to Atlanta from Alabama. So no problem for that crowd as well. I'm kind of shocked that, you know, a game that I thought they were going to take the steps in the right. I thought TCU with Kenny Hill, quarterback, he struggled in that game. He was inaccurate. Through two interceptions. I know they still got the ground yards out of Anderson. To a degree, you saw TCU, a Horned Frog team, who went and beat Oklahoma State. They had Iowa State is not a slouch, man. They're a pretty good team. Kent's a very good quarterback for them. And TCU, in a shocker, in my opinion, I thought TCU did a lot of things well this year to set themselves in a Big 12. They're still only one loss. It's the first loss, but they still could be in the driver's seat, knowing that they had the business situation going on in the Big 12. But Iowa State, good win for Iowa State as well. And let me see the other game, Notre Dame beating up on North Carolina State. The Wolfpack, like I said earlier, they lost to South Carolina earlier in the year. Played good football, ACC. I don't know, it's really hard to really measure some of the wins after beating even Florida State. At Florida State, we already know the situation without their quarterback. ACC is about Clemson as well. Clemson, nice win over Georgia Tech. So a lot of things going on with some of these teams in college football. A lot of parity as well, man. Lots of parity. Because now that Georgia's going to be, what, number two in the country? They were probably going into versus Florida, number three. Wisconsin is definitely a top five team. We see Miami, whatever the matchup is going to be with Miami. Mark Richt got those guys playing well, but we know about Mark Richt, like we said, with how he feels about Georgia. Winning the big games has always been an issue. Notre Dame, the independent school here in this country, all over North Carolina State as well. But let's see, who else did we get to talk about? Oklahoma, is Oklahoma done? Is Baker Mayfield done? I don't know. Not exactly sure if he's going to be 100% done in this situation. I will say that's going to be interesting. And don't forget about if you saw it over the weekend, the Oklahoma State West Virginia game, another high scoring game. Oklahoma State did, I think, win 50-39. The Big 12 have a lot of gunners, a lot of free offense, because don't sleep on that conference as far as they could put up points. TCU, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Oklahoma, those four teams could play with anybody in the country. And then when we see how the polls come out, we can see how things are going to be paired up as well. And it is really down on the Pac-12. When it comes to Southern California, what happened in the game last week as well. Washington State, even this week, falling to Arizona, giving up almost damn near 60 points. It's amazing, man. Amazing. Even if I go back to the Big 12, even Michigan State falling to Northwestern, I still think they have a chance to do put some losses together for some of those teams in their own conference as well. So some of these teams in the Pac-12 definitely took a step back, in my opinion, as far as locking up a seat for to be a top four. College football definitely going to pick up some better quality games. I thought they hit a soft part in their schedule early on with great games. We saw earlier this year, even opening day was awesome as well. Even some of the subpar competition. Really quick before I get go to the college basketball and I get to the pro stuff with NBA, NHL, and NFL. With college basketball coming right around the corner, you have all these individual tournaments. You got the Maui tournament, you got the Bahamas tournament. You got some tournaments down in Florida, pretty much all around the world. You got the aircraft carrier tournament. I forgot the name of it, but even the one at the Garden, Jimmy V Classic. So many of them. We already know who the powerhouse is. It's the same team, flip-flop every year. The national champions is in the top 10. They're rebuilding. They're still a top 10 team. A team I don't think a lot of people should sleep on is Notre Dame and in college basketball. And we're going to see these teams, and we'll definitely have some conversation about that. Duke is a very good team on paper. They have top high school freshmen coming in, high school seniors coming in as freshmen. Not going to redshirt, going to play right away. Duke, national power, Izzo's team should be very strong. I know they're going to be a top five. Bill Self's team, Kansas team, has talent. Definitely would also reach. So we already know about Kyle Perry. Is five men, five out of their program. Be on the lookout for this college basketball. I know even the mid-majors like Wichita State is definitely bringing a lot of seniors on their team. Back to problems. Because remember, they had like a 1 or 2 year lapse where a lot of those seniors graduated from their team. They're coming back strong as well. Man, college basketball is right around the corner. I know some of the programs that took a hit, even remember with Rick Pitino being fired from Louisville. A lot of that talent is still there. They're still a top 25 talent. I don't know how they're going to fare in the ACC this year. But the ACC's got a lot of squads in that top 25 as well. You already know about North Carolina and Duke, Louisville. Miami, that's another program that's kind of came out of nowhere, the Miami Hurricanes, too. I look forward to having that college basketball talk with you guys here. Blues Day Recap, regular shows here on the Bleed Blue Show. Should be very fun to watch when we get to that. I don't know about Steve Alford's team. I'm not really high on what they do. I know they bring, after Lonzo Ball had left UCLA and TJ Leaf left UCLA, the college basketball landscape with them rebuilding as well. Arizona, Sean Miller's got a good team as well. He's done a good job bringing a lot of those recruits as well, sending in there as far as on the college basketball tip. So I know when those tournament games come along and I come back around, I hate to say that. I hate to get on the Duke bandwagon, and I'm not really a Duke supporter, Duke lover, or any of that, but Duke is stacked. I think Duke is really stacked. I'm really in favor of Wendell Carter, and got to see his high school games in person. The guy could play. He's kind of a Rasheed Wallace 2.0 who could hit the three, run the break, hit corner threes, post up, dunk, alley, you name it. You add in the kid Barnes from Arizona, the top recruit. These guys could ball, man. They definitely could ball. So when college basketball comes around, be on the lookout for the Instagram stuff that we're going to put out there on that, the audio that we – looking at some of these games, these tournaments. The tournaments are fun for me, man. I love the tournaments. Even Seton Hall last year was fun to watch. Villanova with Jay Wright's squad, that's going to be a fun team to watch. The college basketball right around the corner. It should be definitely good to get into, man. Definitely get into. Let me see. That was it on the college football, college basketball. Let me think. NBA, man. I know we talked about this on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I don't think a lot of people realize how good these games have been for the NBA. I watched a little bit of the Pistons Warriors game after the Knicks game on Sunday. The Pistons Warriors, Pistons went into Oakland and beat the Warriors. These teams are ready to play, man. Some of these teams we are writing off or not giving a chance. Like I fully written off the Indiana Pacers. I was dead wrong, but I should have jumped the gun. Some of these guys are playing with a lot of chip on their shoulder. I mean, the Orlando Magic is another team. The Orlando Magic, what they've done this far this season, it's still early. You don't want to go too far with beating up on the San Antonio Spurs, which is really kind of shocking. I know Kawhi Leonard has not been playing, but without Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs are still a good team. I think they were undefeated without him. But Orlando, the Magic, I might have to start tuning into some of those Magic games a little bit more often. I know they played the Heat early on this year. I think they played Charlotte. But I got to see what Orlando is going on in Orlando because they've put up some nice wins. I think I'm going to have to put them into the rotation because I kept a heavy, outside of the Knicks, of course. I've been watching the Bucks a lot. I'm not trying to with the Celtics and, we already know about the Celtics and Cavs. I'm talking about other teams that we sleep on. The Sixers is another team. I've been watching a lot of their games. That Houston game last Wednesday, even going down to the Y with the Eric Gordon three-pointer to seal the deal. Them playing the Mavericks, good game. I mean, they that was a good game, too, versus Dallas the other night over the weekend in Dallas. Joel Embiid hitting three-pointers, follow-up dunks by Ben Simmons. These guys are running, man. These boys can play. These guys are hungry, man. Fun team to watch. Sixers, Bucks. I know they lost last Thursday to the Celtics, but their chemistry, with Middleton and Greek Freak. I ain't gonna butcher his name. Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever. Greek Freak. Him, John Henson coming off the bench. Greg Monroe. Those guys. Those forwards. They've put on a good show, man. Very, very good show. This team is fun to watch. I know they beat up on Atlanta, and there was a mean dunk I saw in the Atlanta game versus the Hawks, where Greek Freak was triple team, back down, turns around, and just slams it. This guy's a freak, man. This guy's taking a step to the very next level. It was very fun to watch. The Wizards. I don't know if anybody saw the Wizards game on Friday. It was a Friday night game. The Wizards, it was at the Knicks net. So I was watching the Wizards, stayed up, watched the Wizards at Golden State. The Wizards could score. Now, I don't know how that game would have fared out if Bradley Beal and Draymond Green would have stayed in the game because late in that second quarter, Bradley Beal kind of neck wrapped Draymond Green, put him in a headlock. They kind of tussled on the ground. No punches were thrown, but both guys was thrown out. I think Draymond Green already had a technical foul up into the point. Fun game to watch, man. And then here's the thing about the NBA. It's almost like theater where no lead is safe in today's NBA. You have a 20-point lead, and these teams are expected to make runs. These teams are destined to make a quick power move to get back into the game. That's why I kind of stay up to see what's going to happen. If you're up on 20 on the Warriors, you expect to come back. Just expect a team to come back. The Grizzlies, another team that I'm not surprised, but I respect their hustle, respect their game, beating Houston the way they did at home, or actually on the road, and then they went at home beating Golden State. Watch those games. Fun to watch. NBA has been fantastic. Now, I know there's a slew of games on Monday night. I'm going to be flipping back and forth, try to get as much NBA as possible. Well, even watching the Kings game, that was surprising to me, too. Watching the Kings, I was watching Kings Pelicans, too. Nice, fun little team to watch. I know De'Aaron Fox is coming off the bench. I guess they got the veteran George Hill running the point with Buddy Hield at the off guard, Willie Cauley-Stein at center. You see Booby Gutsons in two games, I think one without Anthony Davis. That was the game he went back to Sacramento. In two games, domination, especially going back at Sacramento, they were down a million points. That was a Thursday night game. They were down a million points, came back, won it. They had 41-25. Amazing, dominant performance coming back as well. They got spot-up shooters. I'm not saying that – I don't think they're going to go as far as I think they could or should or would, but the Pelicans have been a nice piece. And even being up on Cleveland, I think Cleveland's a little bit in the funk. If you're going to be in the funk, you might as well be early in the season before you get Isaiah Thomas back. We already know about their loss to the Knicks, the loss to the Pelicans. Cleveland, it is what it is. So Tyronn Lue's got to find the right rotations for that squad. Watch Minnesota – the Thunder. Yeah, that was what it was. Thunder, the second game as well. They played it early on in the season. Wiggins had that game-winning three off the glass. Minnesota does it again. Jimmy Butler getting clothesline for layups. That was a good game as well versus the Thunder. So a lot of good games. NFL, real quick, I want to say this about the Houston Texans. I thought Deshaun Watson – who I've been harping on this episode for 2 years as a Giants fan. Giants need to trade up and get this guy. You can see why what he did at Seattle. I know he had the interceptions, but this poise, staying in the pocket, finding wide receivers. I know the yards after the catch with DeAndre Hopkins, the foot, the reception over Sherman, and going for almost 400 yards in Seattle is an amazing game. Saw the Jet game versus the Falcons. The Jets, it was given opportunities. So many opportunities from the Falcons, fumbling by Matt Ryan, kicking field goals in the rain. The Jets should have beat the Falcons. Who else played? I didn't think the Redskins was going to beat the Cowboys. The London game as well, didn't think the Browns were going to beat the Vikings. It is what it is. That was a poor game. The Philadelphia Eagles beating up on the Niners. That you knew it was a matter of time. The 49ers were just not going to be able to hang with those guys. A very underrated, entertaining game was that Colts-Bengals game. That was the early game as well. I thought it was like a little bit of back and forth, unexpected points as well. The Panthers all over the Buccaneers. Fun to watch, getting the rushing touchdowns by the Panthers. I seen a little bit of the Pittsburgh-Detroit game, a little bit back and forth with that. I didn't think these week crop of games were that bad on an NFL tip. So I know we'll have a little bit more discussion on that on the NFL episode with the Giants. And then also on the NHL team, I got to say this, for the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's something about this sport is probably the most parallel or polarizing thing about the NHL is – you could be bad with the same roster. You could be great 1 year, bad in the very next. And just one or two personnel changes could change or screw up everything. We already know what the Lightning got. They got Tyler Johnson. They got a whole bunch of Steven Stamkos came back with that contract. Even when some of the defensemen left, they still got Callahan out there. This team is they always was a force. I just couldn't understand why they didn't put it together after the Detroit series 2 years ago, and they kind of fell through the cracks, maybe a little bit of injuries. But they always had a gang of guys that could put light up the back of the lamp. Now, you also have Edmonton, who was, like I said, has been Edmonton's – was everybody's NHL Stanley Cup darlings. They haven't found their way like that as far as in the Western Conference, the Pacific Division. The Blues are a very good team, even despite their injuries. I will also look at also in the West, the Predators are still the Predators. They're still fine. Anaheim's a big physical forechecking team that's going to make you get off that boards. But I look forward to getting to more of that NHL stuff on our NHL episode. Our recap, try to get to NFL, NBA, NHL, college hoops, college football. Be on the lookout, man, on the website, BleedBlueShow.com. All the stakeholders, the great guys and gals who talk sports with us all week long. We'll be back later this week. Check out the schedule tab. Check out the audio archives on BleedBlueShow.com. If you've got a smartphone, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Enjoy the games. It's going to be a great slew of games, World Series stuff, and the Astros. about to lock up the deal. I kind of stayed away from the baseball because I'm still kind of hurt as a Yankee fan. But, hey, man, the sports in the fall, man, it's nothing like it. We have, like, damn near, like, 5-6 different leagues and amateur sports all at once, man. It's just it's just too much. It's a smorgasbord of groceries, man. That's what it is. Sangre de Azul, Blues Day Recap. We blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.